Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Gators got the day off. Doug Carsolo. Yep. Another Lions Monday. I've done this show, like, I don't know, feels like about 500 times. And we're doing it again. And the games have no premium. This is all about draft positioning. You know, you keep waiting to see signs that the coaching staff and the GM have gone out and plucked some players that, you know, show some promise for the future. And that, hey, things are going to go well because at least this young player or that young player, or, you know, they're getting reps for guys that you could see a building process. You see none of that. I mean, it's brutal. And there's a common conspiracy theory out there that the Lions brass is just hustling guys to the injured reserve list to end their seasons to create an excuse as to why they stink. And I'm maybe a bit reluctant to go there, and I'm not even sure that it's true. But then, you know, the Lions place Jared Davis on the IR and Joe Dahl on the IR and Marvin Jones on the IR and Deshaun Hand on the IR. And the Lions place Rory on the IR, and it's a parade of players. The Detroit Lions have placed Red Wings anthem singer Karen Newman on the IR. The Lions have placed Huel Perkins of Fox 2 on the IR. I mean, they're just putting guys on the IR. It's just IR, IR, IR. And I'm like, man, I gotta believe it really hurt. And then Patricia opens up his press conference yesterday by laundry listing all the guys that got hurt during the game. And so the people that have that conspiracy theory, I feel like there's evidence to back it up. Like you are supported in that. And yet, you know, not being a doctor, learning early that you're not supposed to speculate about injuries you don't know about. Like early, when it's training for this job and this career, learning early that you're not supposed to. Don't do this. Like, it's a cardinal. Don't break this, and, you know, this ethical, you know, part of doing what we do. But I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm going, God, it feels like they're just parading guys to the IR and trying to create the excuse as to why this team stinks so bad. And the product's awful. The product's awful. But here's my prediction of what's going to happen. You know, Jamie and Stoney were talking about, we're so conditioned to it not working out that it's hard not to let cynicism seep in and start to dominate your every thought when it comes to the Lions. But the idea that, yes, the Lions will finish third is, you know, finish third from the bottom and have the third pick, which will send Joe Burrow 1, Chase Young 2, and the Lions will be sitting there deciding whether or not they need to, you know, start the reboot with Tua. And a player that, you know, it kind of falls into their lap from a, you know, could have gone number one overall. I wasn't totally sold on Tua as a pro prospect, but I get the allure. And it's not like I haven't been wrong about guys in the past, so sure, go for it. So if they decide to take Tua, guess what? The injury will be crippling and it'll never be the same. And if they pass on Tua, yeah, we're all preconditioned to think that he'll go on to have a great NFL career. Here's what I'm convinced of. The Lions aren't going to get Chase Young, but the Lions will have a top four pick. And I'll be buying 25 beers for 25 listeners that got on the air that day. And I'm fine with it, but they're not going to get high enough to get Chase Young. And the Lions, look, they could have decided to tank way earlier. They were entering a stretch of the schedule where Stafford stayed healthy and they stayed healthy. They might have been able to get some wins, but maybe not. I mean, that whole theory it just looks like it's been completely blown up, because while they've been competitive through some of the games in this losing streak, there have been the last 2 weeks where they've been completely non-competitive. And, you know, so I'll buy the beers and I'll gladly do it, because it looks like I might have been way wrong on that one. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I didn't think it was a possibility Stafford could get hurt, because it's always a possibility your quarterback gets hurt. It's always a possibility. And here we are, once again, doing this show. Doing this show where we're talking about the coach, the GM, and the draft. And it sucks. Yeah. Although it is kind of fun talking about the draft. And there's stuff.
Yeah, but not this early.
No, but I mean, we've been doing it for weeks. There's things that, like, there are some interesting things to talk about with the future of the Lions. And the most pressing one is clearly the head coach. And followed secondly by the GM, and maybe flip-flop them. I don't know. I don't even care. But they need to, their futures need to be discussed. And their futures need to be discussed. Not by Doug, and not by Gator, not by Kang. They need to be discussed by Martha Ford and Sheila Ford Hamp and William Clay Ford Jr. and anybody else that's making a decision down there. They need to be talking about this as a topic. It cannot be a fait accompli. It should not be a fait. It shouldn't be already decided. And, you know, I was told a few weeks ago that it wasn't. I was told that Martha wasn't happy. And, you know, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it means that she's absolutely going to fire him, or she's sticking with him even though she's not happy. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I don't think is happening. I don't, and I know this call is going to come. People want him to sell the team. Yeah, there was T-shirts and banners saying sell the team yesterday. And, you know, they play basically in their facility. Like, that's the Ford's facility. It's Ford Field. They contributed a ton of money to build it, and I just can't see them turning around and saying, we're vacating the building, we're vacating all of this. You know, the practice facility that was built, right where it was built, and we're just going to walk away. I just can't see it. And then it becomes, do they have a Rooney story, where the Rooneys own the Steelers for 38, whatever it was, years, 35 years, and had 6 or 7 winning seasons, and they're never going to win? And now they're on an unbelievable stretch. I mean, the Steelers I feel like the majority of my lifetime, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm not an old guy yet either. But what has happened with, like, the Steelers? You can just count on them competing. Then what do we have, that number, that ridiculous number that since the year 2000, they've only missed the playoffs like 5 or 6 times, and half of those times the record was 9-7 or 8-8 when they missed the playoffs? And we're in Detroit lamenting about a coach who went 9-7. We're talking about the guy prior to Matt Patricia that went 9-7 and how much better it was under him. And the Steelers were missing the playoffs at 9-7, and that feels like their low watermark. And they had an owner like this. Not as long as this, but everybody said that the Steelers never went with the Rooneys. The difference was, most people weren't around. Most of you listening weren't around. Most of you didn't hear it. There wasn't sports talk radio and Twitter and blogs. But that was the word. And then they started doing it. Then they started winning. And, I mean, it's been great for them. And that doesn't mean that this is the formula. Lose forever, stink forever, and you'll start to win. But I kind of feel like we were resigned to the fate that they're not going to sell the team. And I appreciate the people with the banners, and I ask myself, because I've punch buttoned it for years, thinking they're not going to sell, they're not going to sell, they're not going to sell. But I don't want to be lazy about this, kind of lazy. Well, if I once believed it, I should always believe it. So I revisited it today and went through the building of Ford Field, the amount of money they put in, and it's just, I don't see it happening. I still don't see it happening. But here's where we sit. Monday's Mean Champ and Chump, 248-539-9797. Get your Champ and Chump nominations in. I'm mine today at 10:35. Kang is here. Evan's back from Mexico City. And by most accounts, it doesn't look like he even got beheaded.
No, he's got both kidneys and everything.
That's awesome. Although, it does feel like that, you know, he walked into some situations. But we'll talk to Evan about it a little bit later. It's Carson Anderson. I mean, vent away, Detroit, because there's plenty of reason to. And we'll delve into the head coach and what's going to happen with him. Yeah, mentioned that there were guys down. That feeds into the conspiracy theory that they're bringing attention to how many injuries they've had.
You know, I've been on that bandwagon, Doug.
I know.
He's selling and he's selling and he's selling. We have all these guys on IR. They're still playing hard, though. We have all these guys that are injured, but they go out and show up to work every day. I'm sorry. Those are prerequisites. You have to show up hard. Up every day and play hard. And that doesn't mean anything in this league. You're
no,
pro.
It doesn't. No, that's the expectation. That's the bottom. That's the minimal expectation is to play hard. It's not any great accomplishment that the team plays hard. Okay, great. Yeah, they're pros, okay? Okay, that's first base. You know? You have to be there. You have to play hard. And I'm sick of hearing about it. But God, they're bad. But we knew they would be when Stafford got hurt. And that's where I get to the whole thing with Patricia. The product is awful. Since the injury, are they 0-6 or 0-7 now? 0-6? They lost the Oakland game, and they've lost every game since. And the fact is, we all know if Stafford goes down, the Lions season is in real jeopardy and probably done. We all knew that. We said it before the year. So does that mean we should judge Patricia for the team losing every game since he's been hurt? Is it fair to do that when we all knew it was coming? It's fair to be critical of Bob Quinn, the general manager, for not having a capable backup. I mean, David Blough is doing what a lot of quarterbacks do. Hey, Duck Hodges did it. Jeff Driscoll did it. You hit the ground running. You look great. And then the reality catches up to him. You're just not going to get it done. There's like a 75% chance that Blough is going to be probably nothing in the NFL. And with all respect due, I can't imagine him being a legitimate long-term player in the NFL. 75%, there's 20%, maybe that's great, you know, being generous, a 20% chance he'll be a decent backup. There's a 4.5% chance that he will be wanted and coveted by another team and you can trade him, and there's about a 0.5% chance he'll push Stafford for playing time. And Driscoll was the same. Oh, look at Driscoll. And Duck Hodges was bad last night. It's a lot of quarterbacks come in and can do some things initially, but then reality slaps them in the face, man. It's tough to win in this league. But 248-539-9797. Let's get to your phone calls. Jacob in Plymouth. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, first off, it is absolutely fair to judge Patricia because the defense has been so awful.
That's true. No, you're right about that.
But I am so adamantly against drafting a quarterback in the first round. If you look around the league, quarterbacks have been drafted in the top 5 or 10. Take away Mahomes, who was traded up by a 12-4 team, have been failures. Teams that have built defenses and drafted a quarterback in the late first round or the second round or later have been far more successful. And that's even taking away Tom Brady. You got Russell Wilson. You got Flacco. Drew Brees. It is stupid if your team is that bad to put a quarterback like they did with Stafford on an awful team and try and get them to carry the team. I want defense in the first round. I want defense in the second round. 12 picks have been taken since Stafford was drafted. 8 of them in the first round have been offense. It's time to fix the defense and get an attack defense. Not the stupid bend but don't break that always breaks defense.
Well, I feel like one thing you're right about is there is a common perception out there that if you invest in a first-round quarterback, you start the rebuild. And, you know, we went through and did the math on how many quarterbacks have been drafted in the last decade in the first round. Because if you're going to start a rebuild and you're going to, you know, try and reboot your team, you generally start with the quarterback position. And in the last decade, there's like two that are tracking towards being elite. And it might be early to say that with Lamar Jackson, and it's probably not early to say that with Mahomes. But since Stafford was drafted, there have been a whole lot of Christian Ponders and not a lot of Tom Brady's.
Well, Lamar Jackson, though, was a late first-round pick. And Patrick Mahomes, like I said, they were traded from like 27th or 28th up to get Mahomes and make that change. So those were good teams that had defenses. Lamar Jackson has had a fantastic season, but their defense is like top five. I saw them the other night, they were ranked sixth in like three of the major categories, so they have to be a top-end defense. If you don't have that and you have an offensive quarterback trying to carry an offense and score because he has a bad defense, you're never going to win. And I think taking a quarterback can be a rebuilding thing, but if you fix the defense and trade up, I would rather see them trade up when they get a defense and maybe get a second round or second first round pick and take someone at 22nd or something like that that they think that they can build around.
But I'm not gonna fight you on it. I don't think your theory is flawed that much. Some of the high end guys that go at the top, it all feels great in the moment where you take them. But I'm doing the numbers again here because I think that there's two that are tracking towards being elite, and it's the two that I mentioned, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, and that is of 27 first round quarterbacks since Stafford was taken. It's tough to even figure out who the next guy's gonna be. Which is why I'm not really particularly for it. But let's go to Martin and Wixom. You're next. What's up, Martin?
What's up, boys? Three things, Doug. Top four pick's looking really good right now.
It's really in play.
You might have to ask for a raise to pay for the beer.
It's 25 beers. I'll be fine.
Sorry. Two, if you draft a quarterback in the first round, don't you think the new coach should do that? Don't you think a new coach should say, I want this guy as a quarterback to draft? And not Patricia to draft us a quarterback, because if he doesn't make it through year three, let's just say he comes back and he doesn't make it through year three, the next coach might not have liked the quarterback they draft.
Comment on this, Martin. It's a valid point and it's a valid question. And it's because what you have to ask yourself too is, do you even want Bob Quinn making the pick? Because Bob Quinn will be drafting for his professional life, not drafting for what makes the most sense for the organization. He'll be drafting for what makes the most sense. He's not going to take a draft pick for a guy that they think is going to play in 2-3 years because he can't afford to waste a first-round resource. They need a guy that's going to play right away.
Right, but it's going to be ride or die with whoever he does, with Patricia or the next coach or the next draft pick he gets. It's ride or die. Third, I don't think the players like Patricia. I think they're tuned him out. I don't think anybody likes playing. To show up 21-0 like that in a game, you could just tell the players just don't care about this guy. And if he comes back, which I have a real belief he is, and some of these players are coming back, maybe 50, 60% of them, they're still going to tune him out. But yeah, Quinn's so hooked up on bringing his boy and letting him stay. If he really wanted to coach for his professional career, look, man, we boys, at the end of the day, I love you, but I got to go get another coach. And I think the great candidate, Mike McCarthy, because he knows the division. He knows how to go against other teams. He's played in this division. You want to protect your lifehood, Quinn, and you want to protect Lions? Go get rid of your boy and bring us a coach, and let's do our thing for next year. We're not going anywhere next year. If they come back, we're the same damn team next year.
Well, it's almost impossible to – I want to go back and I want to play preseason shows of what everybody said about the Lions defense. Nobody thought they would suck. Okay? Last year, some of the stuff they did late in the year, we might even buy into some people thought it was a mirage or wasn't. Nobody thought they'd be this bad, this horrific. There was so much from that game that was just awful. At the end of the first quarter, Tampa had 236 yards. The Lions had a yard. 236 yards to a yard. Jameis Winston threw for 221 yards in the first quarter alone. And the Detroit News reported today that only Peyton Manning and Jim Kelly have thrown for more in a first quarter in the last 40 years.
They had more touchdowns than Lions had yards of offense.
The Lions pinned them back on the 1 yard line.
Y'all want to see a 99 yard drive?
I mean, right down the field. Right down the field. It's 21-0, and the Lions have 2 yards. They doubled their offensive output by the time it got to 21-0. So bad. So horrific. The first caller was right. I mean, give him credit. I should have had it myself. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's fair to judge Patricia even with the injury to Stafford. It's his defense. He doesn't come up here as an offensive guy who just needs to find his defensive coordinator. He's the defensive coordinator head coach.
If there's only something he could lean on, some forte, something he specializes in.
Right.
Something that he did in the offseason with Bob Quinn to acquire certain players on that side of the ball. His defense?
Yeah. And you got Tampa with a guy like Shaquille Barrett, right, that they signed from Denver. Undrafted out of Colorado State, gets a 1 year, $5 million contract, and he's leading the NFL in sacks. That's the kind of move that I expected from Patricia. Go find a guy that was going to be awesome because you were ahead of the game defensively. Right?
That's the Patriot way, isn't it?
That's it. It's Shaquille Barrett. 16 sacks, got a 16th sack yesterday. I mean, come on. 248-539-9797. We'll get back to your phone calls in a second. Champ and Chump. My champ of the weekend is Peyton Pritchard, the point guard for Oregon, is a baller, man. He won that game for Oregon down the stretch. 17 consecutive points. Xavier Simpson had no answers. That's where Teske being out hurt him. The rotations were slow from the bigs. Brandon Johns is starting to prove to be a little bit more of an asset, but it was either slow rotation or no rotation, and Xavier Simpson needed help, but Peyton Pritchard was just better. My champ of the weekend for the Oregon Ducks. My champ of the weekend, that is Patricia. And again, it's the defense. It's the defense, the defense, the defense. And it's so frustrating the way this is going. And, you know, I don't know that he has any answers. And I'm starting to buy into the theory that, yes, they're trying to sell the fact that guys are hurt. I think it's weird they haven't hired Stafford yet. But
it's so weird. If he plays next year, I mean, that's fire him on the spot. What's going on? I think some ownership needs to go down there and be like, Quinn, you're done. Patricia, you're done. What are you guys doing? I mean, of course, I'm sure they've spoken to ownership about why Matt Stafford isn't on IR. But there's no good reason for me. Is there one for you, Doug? Is there any good reason that they could sell you that, hey, we're not going to put him on IR, even though we're putting every other player that we possibly can on IR?
Here, the only thing I can think of is out of respect for him, and he doesn't want to be put on IR.
For what? Why does he not want to be put on IR?
Ask Jansen.
What's the respect?
Ask Jansen. Players want to play. Well, I mean, to carry on Johnson.
Oh, because you think Matt Stafford wants to play.
I think Matt Stafford wants to play. I think he's asked them not to put. If you're asking me why, this is the reason I'd come up with. What might be going on is Matt Stafford wants to play, has requested, don't put me on IR. I want to come back this year. And so they haven't put him on IR. The Kerryon Johnson quotes from this weekend, he wants to play. He wants to come back. Players want to play. And I think that's exactly what Kerryon said.
He wants to play, and he did say that. But the difference is they might play Kerryon Johnson, okay?
Yeah.
If in their mind, there is no way they're going to play Matt Stafford. What is the out of respect putting him, you know what I mean? You're messing with him then. You're not showing him any respect if you don't plan on putting him out on the field.
I think if he doesn't want to be put on IR, a player of his stature, then maybe you just listen to him and don't put him on IR. But
another reason why the staff should be gone.
Oh, maybe.
They got to make those decisions.
I got to tell you, that would be way down the list of the reason the staff should be gone.
But it's on the list, though, as far as incompetence is what I'm saying. What is the point?
Don't know. 248-539-9797, ticket text 97136. Let's get back to your phone calls. Get your champ and chump votes in. Cedric in St. Clair. Hi, Cedric.
Hey, what's up, Doug? Hey, guys.
Hey.
great show.
Thank you.
Hey, Doug, something real quick. Can you refresh my memory? Quinn came from New England. What was his role? Was he the same thing? Because I'm really wondering about that.
He was in the scouting department, and I think he was an assistant GM. But hold on, let me get what his title was.
Yeah, and I'm asking that question for a reason, simply because we already know 4 years of Quinn. Look, Patricia is one thing, but Quinn should not keep his job from the standpoint of how he's turned his team around, how he's made the bad decisions, including Patricia, including all the things he's done. Hey, you guys remember what Glover Quinn said when he said, I think someone was interviewing him, and he said, first of all, before Jim Caldwell was let go, nothing was wrong. We didn't need fixing. We were doing pretty well. Is that right, guys?
They were doing pretty well. The question is, did he have a ceiling and had he reached it? Was really what the reasoning was and the logic was. We can debate it. Look, the Caldwell thing's been over and over. Would we all love to have Caldwell-like success now? Yes, relative to that. I mean, what you got to remember is, even if you let a guy go, it can be totally justifiable, and then you can go out and hire somebody worse, which is what it looks like happened here.
And you know what happened, Doug? Doug, my business, my profession, I'm a business consultant. So companies call me in when they're having a problem with environment, culture, with issues with leadership. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it seems like the same issue is happening where changes have been made, but there's not any buy-in from the players, the employees.
That might be, and that's a problem. Cedric, thank you for the phone call and the perspective. Here is Bob Quinn's previous titles in New England. He went from player personnel assistant to a pro scout to a regional scout to a national scout to the assistant director of pro personnel to the director of pro scouting. And from there, he got promotion to the general manager. Well, he got the job as the general manager of the Detroit Lions. And yes, he's under fire and he's embattled, as he should be. 248-539-9797. William in Detroit, you're next. What's up, William?
Good morning, guys. Love the show. How we doing?
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Great. I won't keep you long. Let's talk about the quarterback. We know Matthew Stafford is a great guy. He's injured right now. But the future is Tyrese Jackson. And we let him go. This guy has a cannon for an arm. That's what we love about Matt Stafford. He has a quick mind. Yes, he played in a smaller conference, but if you can throw, you can throw. He won everything you could there. I think the mistake we made this year was not keeping him on the roster, because scoring, it takes care of everything, just like winning. We need to get that guy back in camp. Martha Ford, if you're listening, bring him back. Insist on having this guy in. We don't need to wait till some other team gets him and say, well, we should have, could have, would have did.
Well, you're talking about the guy from Buffalo and from Muskegon who was 6'7".
That's the future guy.
Is he on anyone's roster?
That's not because he can't play. He's not on the team. We need to give that guy a chance. That's where it's going. That's where the NFL is going to be one day. The big guys with the strong cannons that can throw. Right. Matt Stafford can do that.
He's in the XFL, which means it can't get him, because guys who sign contracts in the XFL can't come back to sign NFL contracts. That's part of their contract, and we figured that out with, was it Josh Johnson? Was that the other quarterback they tried to get? Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I feel like if he was, I mean, it's not just that the Lions passed on him. If he were really good, I think everybody would have taken a shot. Somebody would have signed him. So, I mean, you might be right long-term with Tyree Jackson, but
you have to wait till the offseason for that now.
Yes, and you'll get to watch him in the XFL, who get to play.
Yeah, if you can't do it in the XFL, I'm sorry, Cedric. Was that Cedric that called? Or
yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.